Eli are in the house. They've got a great show for you. So thank you again to all
Thanks,
of
everybody.
You for supporting this show and this station.
And see you next week.
We'll see you next week. This is WORT 89.9 FM Madison and WORTFM.org.
Hi, WORT listeners. Nominations for Madison Magazine's Best of Madison competition are now open through the end of February. And WORT qualifies this year in four categories: Best Local Podcast, Best Radio Team, Best Local News Site, and the brand new category of Best Volunteer Opportunity. WORT has fantastic local news, so that one's pretty easy, as well as many podcasts and radio teams. Think about your favorite shows, and chances are that at least one of them fits into these categories. WORT also boasts a crew of over 300 volunteers, so we're a shoo-in for Best Volunteer Opportunity. But we need your vote. How do you vote? We've made it simple. Just go to tinyurl.com/best WORT to cast your vote. And you can nominate your favorites every day through the end of the month, so vote early and vote often. The final voting will take place in June. Thank you in advance.
With Sue Montgomery. The American double Oscar-winning actor Gene Hackman has died, alongside his wife, Betsy Arakawa, at their home in Santa Fe. Police said their bodies were discovered on Wednesday, along with their dog. Foul play was not immediately suspected. Charlotte Gallagher looks back at his life.
Gene Hackman's breakthrough role was in Bonnie and Clyde in 1967, and he won Oscars for The French Connection and Unforgiven. He was also known for his comedic talent, starring as the eccentric patriarch in Wes Anderson's film The Royal Tenenbaums. Gene Hackman retired from acting in 2004 on medical advice. Francis Ford Coppola, who directed him in The Conversation, said he was a great actor, inspiring and magnificent in his work and complexity.
There are reports of two explosions and gunfire at a rally of Rwandan-backed M23 rebels in the east of the Democratic Republic of Congo. Their leader, Corne Nanga, had been addressing a crowd in the city of Bukavu, which the group recently seized from the Congolese military. Will Ross reports.
Thousands of people were in Bukavu's Independence Square, where the rebel leader, Corne Nanga, was making his first appearance since the M23 group seized the city earlier this month. Eyewitnesses say an explosion caused the crowd to flee in panic. Then a second blast rang out, followed by gunfire. Videos show several bodies on the road and emergency workers carrying away the injured.
The group has accused the Kinshasa government of carrying out the attack. Romanian prosecutors have confirmed that the controversial British online influencer Andrew Tate and his brother Tristan have left the country. They're flying to the United States in a private jet. The Tate brothers are still facing charges including rape and sex trafficking, which they deny. Here's Nick Thorpe.
They are US citizens, and the Trump administration, already in the campaign last autumn, made very clear that they regard them as American citizens who've been mistreated in a foreign country by the judicial authorities. And in exchange for that, effectively, Andrew Tate has made very clear how much he supports Donald Trump. And now, since Mr. Trump became president, there's been this very public but also private pressure on Romania as a key US ally in Europe, as a key member of NATO on the southeastern flank, to release them. And that is now what's happened.
Negotiators from Russia and the US have been meeting in Istanbul, seeking to restore diplomatic ties following the return of President Trump. They come a week after the chief Russian and American diplomats agreed to start negotiations on ending Russia's war against Ukraine without involving Kyiv. BBC News.
Ready to do something proactive to help your neighbors that have had to flee their homes due to conflict or climate change? Register today for the Returned Peace Corps Volunteers of Wisconsin's Freeze for Food 5K or 10K walk or run happening on Saturday, March 1st at noon at the Vilas Park Shelter. Freeze for Food raises funds to support Open Doors for Refugees, a nonprofit dedicated to helping our Madison refugee neighbors. Participants of all ages and abilities can run or walk along beautiful Lake Wingra. Proceeds from the Freeze for Food will be used for food security and relief efforts for Madison refugees. Registration and race information can be found at rpcvmadison.org by clicking on the Freeze for Food link. That's the 44th annual Freeze for Food race on Saturday, March 1st. You are listening to WORT 89.9 FM Madison and WORTFM.org.
Support for this program comes from Edgewood College Theater, presenting Kimberly Bellflower's biting, funny new play, John Proctor is the Villain, directed by Jeannie Leap, February 28th to March 8th at the Diane Bullwig Theater. At a rural high school in Georgia, teens are studying The Crucible while navigating love, sex, and school scandals. Holding a contemporary lens to the American classic, they question who is really the hero and what is the truth, discovering their own power in the process. Tickets at edgewood.edu/about/events/theater or search Edgewood College Theater.
Support for this program is provided by WORT's listener sponsors and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers Local 2304. Local 2304 is a small local union with a big agenda, bringing power to the people by representing the workers who provide safe and reliable gas and electric service at MG&E. The professional union reps at Madison Teachers Incorporated and the staff collective right here at WORT. More information about the union is available on their website at ibew2304.com.
Good morning, it's 8:07 and you are tuned into WORT 89.9 FM in Madison, Wisconsin. My name's Tony Castaneda and it's time for the Thursday, February 27th edition, 2025 edition of the 8 o'clock buzz. Thank you very much for tuning in, everybody. Eli? Is Eli here?
I'm here, Tony.
Wait, how come I don't hear you?
Can you not hear me?
Because you're on the wrong mic.
I'm on 3 today, baby. I'm on mic 3 today.
All right. How's it going, Eli?
I'm going good, man. There's a lot of fun energy. I got some Greenbush donuts that I'm eating this morning.
Yes.
Because we got some volunteers in the lobby answering phones because we're raising money today. It's our spring. Is this spring pledge drive?
This is actually the winter
pledge drive. Is it still winter?
Who knows?
It's hard. I guess it says. I guess with that weather outside, I got confused that it was later in the season than it is.
And we do this a couple times a year now. We used to do it once a week back in the old days. Speaking of the old days,
yeah.
WRT is celebrating our 50th year anniversary. And as part of that commemoration, we're going to be speaking with one of our original programmers, someone who programmed on WORT's, who had a program on WRT's first day on the air 50 mm-hmm. years ago.
Wow.
That was a long time. Do you remember that?
I wasn't there.
Wart is like 20 years older than you, Eli.
Yeah.
Wart could be your father.
Wart could be my father. You know what? I think it is. I think at this point.
Actually, I got to meet your dad sometime because he sounds like a pretty cool guy.
You guys would like each
rides,
other.
He rides his bike around and everything around the world.
Yeah, he's doing it again, man. He's crazy.
But we've got some food that we got a donation of food from Epic Mortgage Lending. We want to thank Vicky and Heidi. Not only are they answering phones today, but they're with Epic Mortgage Lending, and they provided some Greenbush, bakery for us. And
they're good. They're good donuts.
They are. That's you ever been there?
I go. Oh, that's on my way to work occasionally.
Usually I go right after I do the show, and I just drive over there and just buy one. donut because I need it. And and of course, Mary Lou is answering phones. The number here to call is 608-256-2001. Pledge your support if you can. We'd like it. It keeps WRT on the air.
You can pledge online as well, WORTFM.org.
Right.
Comes to the same place. So check out the website, check out the phone number.
It
does keep the lights on here.
Yeah, help me and Eli. Let's, Ava and Walter had a great show. Walter's got his own fan club out there.
Yeah.
I don't know what to say, man. I mean, you know.
We got to start playing more fun classical music. I think that's what the kids want.
I guess so, especially.
They don't want this news, man. They don't, you know.
I know. And they don't want to hear us blabbing on the way to school. Hopefully the kids are already in school so they can't hear what we're saying. So, but that's it. That's what we're doing today, everybody. And we do have some guests. Like I said, we're going to be speaking with one of the guys that helped start Ward, actually, or he at least he went to a bunch of meetings. And his name is Bill Milos. He had several shows. One of them was 27 listeners, can't be wrong. It's kind of like the Thursday buzz.
Hey.
And the other one was Systems Consideration. And we'll talk to him, and we're going to talk to him about what it was like back in those, way back, you know, those old days. And we're also going to have Sherry Dubiel on. It's the Community Shares, the Big Share, is this coming Tuesday, March 4th. There are all kinds of activities around town. A bunch of organizations, including WORT, are part of the beneficiaries of the Big Share. And then lastly, we've got the new Atwood Music Hall is opening up soon. And we've got a big announcement from Topher Christensen, who is the proprietor and owner of that facility. And it's a big announcement. And he'll be on also talking about what they got planned. In the meantime, we want you to give us a call. You're going to be part of the show by giving us a call at 608-256-2001. Eli, anything else we got to do?
The views and opinion expressed on the Thursday 8 o'clock buzz do not necessarily represent the opinions of the Wart paid staff, our board of directors, or our millions of volunteers. The Thursday 8 o'clock buzz is for entertainment purposes only.
And so there you have it, folks. In a minute, we're going to speak with our old friend Bill Milos. This is WRT, and it's 8:12. Do your thing. You know what I'm saying? Well, my thing was to play that music, and that CD's not happening. It's not happening, man. And God dang it. Yeah. Keep on talking, Eli. Say something.
So we're here at WORT, where we've been around for 50 years. We're doing our pledge ride out there. We've got Vicky and Heidi waiting for your phone calls. Call them up. Tell them about how you hate dead air.
Yes.
And that if you want to fill this dead air, what you could do is have your name fill that dead air. All you got to do is donate to Wart. So give them a call. Tell them that you want your name on the air. I'll read it just in the same sultry voice that I'm reading it right now.
Sultry?
Is that an okay adjective?
I haven't heard that one, man. But yes, man. It's totally smoky.
Yeah, that's what I'm going
with. All right. Yeah, you could be, your name, it's either dead air or you, so,
yeah.
All right. Here we go, I think this is going to work.
The listeners prefer.
All right, come on. It's 8:15, and you are tuned into WORT, your listener-sponsored community radio station. We already do have some people to thank who have pledged their support. What do we got over there, Eli?
Big thank you to Scott. Scott just came in with a $50 donation.
Okay.
Oh,
don't worry. Yeah,
no,
thank you very much, Scott. Thank you. Also, we want to thank our good friend Marty Schwartz, for his very generous donation. Thank you, Marty. And also Casey Collins. I happened to shake him down last night as I ran into him because, you know, I work hard for WORT pledge drives. I go out and I go to bars, Bill, and I shake people down at the bars.
That counts.
And Casey Collins pledged some support. Joining me on the line, and to help us celebrate our 50 years of being on the air, is one of our original programs. That is, he did a show, 50 years ago on day number one, I guess, or at least week number one. And his name is Bill Miles, currently residing in Chicago, where he's been for a while. Bill, good morning.
Good morning, Tony. How are you doing?
I'm doing all right, man. I'm hanging in there. It's good to hear, and it's good to hear your voice on WORT. We did download a little segment of one of your shows from 1976, so we're going to play a little bit of that. Not right now, but I'm just saying, WORT, one of the reasons I did want to talk to you is I wanted to talk to you about what was going on back in those days. I was around, and I remember, seeing the posters that were up on, people used to stick them on all the telephone poles and things like that back mm-hmm. in the day of telephones and people announcing that there were meetings and gatherings for people that were going to start some sort of a radio station, a listener-sponsored or a co-op radio station. Can you talk a little bit about how you initially got involved with WORT?
Well, I saw those same posters, and there were meetings at the community center over on Jennifer Street. What is
it? Wilmar Neighborhood Center.
Wilmar.
By the way.
Yeah.
Yeah?
Yeah. It's been a while, and my memory isn't quite what it used to be, but I went to a couple of those meetings, and then I got involved on some of the committees. There were committees formed, as I recall. Now, my memory may not be accurate here. But there was I think there was a program committee, and then there was a technical committee. And I was investigating both of them. I wasn't really like any kind of prime mover or anything, but I wanted to see what was going on. And I started going to the meetings, and I got to know some of the people, and I proposed a program that I wanted to do. And I don't know, maybe they were all drunk, but they said, yeah, okay, go on the air. And the first night that Wart was on the air, I don't remember what day of the week it was. I kind of think maybe it was a Thursday. I don't really remember, but they had a kind of an on-air celebration for a while. And then another guy by the name of Steve Grork, who was doing a show of jazz, he came on first, and then I came on after him with my dubious contribution. And that was the first night, as I recall, that Wart was on the air. And I was there, and the people, I remember Jeff Lang was involved with programming, as I remember, and Joni Rubel,
mm-hmm.
Rubel was, organizing things, as I remember. And Pat Kelly was the engineering guy. And I wired up a something in the studio as part of my volunteer stuff, a little bit of when it was first going together, wiring up the connections to the console and the turntables and stuff. And
people have to realize it's back in the old days when we were on Winnebago Street.
Yeah, Winnebago Street. There was a radio station that hadn't been active for many years there. And what was there, a dry cleaner or something in part of the building? I don't remember, but the radio station was there. It had a tower, and in the back was an old tube-type transmitter. And some studios that were, well, there was a studio, and then there was like a booth that people would did some news in, as I remember. And then there was kind of a reception or office room. And that's where some of the committee meetings were. Now, I believe they rented that facility. I don't think they bought it from the guy.
Right.
But it was just really a good fortune that there was a defunct radio station, FM station, just like there, ready to go, right on the highly fashionable east side, no
mm-hmm,
less.
Mm-hmm. Well, it was.
And
It's more fashionable now in that area. If you saw it, Bill, things have somewhat changed up here in Madison. What about, what was the idea behind it? Was there a need for community radio, or did it was just like, hey, let's just start our own radio? I know that a lot of the local radio stations at the time were starting to become more top a 40 format and whatever, even WIBA, which at that time used to be kind of the underground FM station at that point.
Yeah, well, the satellite delivered radio stations, or the automated radio stations, mostly they weren't satellite delivered back then, but they were like, big reels of tape. You know, they would be programmed in some corporate boardroom or something, and then the format would be coming through. I wouldn't say top 40 even. It was a lot of it was just really, whatever the big record companies were promoting. It wasn't. And WIBA, I wouldn't say it was underground, but they did play like albums, whole album sides occasionally and stuff, as opposed to just the AM mm-hmm. style of DJing. But, there was just a communitarian. This is also the time when the co-ops were moving forward and people had these ideas. And there was a book, I can't remember who the author, but the people that started the Pacifica stations. One of them wrote a book about getting a station started and stuff like that, with some of the details. And I had been involved in pirate radio in high school, and so I had a strong interest in radio, and I had technical background and stuff. So I thought, well, gee, this sounds cool. And I was thinking, well, maybe we can foment, maybe the revolution could be on the air, you know.
Yes.
I knew it wouldn't be televised, but at least maybe it could be on the radio, you know.
Right. Eli, did you have a question?
Well, yeah, I was just curious, even that you mentioned pirate radio. Kind of, I think that's a term people don't realize happens that much anymore. What was your pirate radio station, and kind of why was that an initial interest for you?
Well, I just had an interest in electronics in high school. And there was a guy who had a little pirate station, AM, back in those days. Getting a hold of equipment that you could use or building it, it's much easier on AM than FM. FM was a little more sophisticated. And so I thought, oh, gee, that'd be cool. I didn't have a fancy a hot rod car, you know, so I figured, if I'm going to get the girls, I got to do something. And so I built this transmitter, and we were on the air. A bunch of us helped with it, you know, and we would go on the air once for a couple hours every night until the FCC came over. And then we had to start. Now, I'd been doing pirate radio in Chicago for the last 10 years. On my own, with a little 30 watt FM kind of operation, until again the FCC came by about 2 years ago, and so I had to stop. if you look up pirate radio in Chicago on YouTube, you'll see some of the a couple people did some, little things about it.
Yeah, some of the. I just want to let people, it's 8:25, everybody. You are tuned into WRT with This Is a Pledge Drive edition of the Thursday Buzz. We're speaking, though, to honor our 50 years of being on the air. We're speaking with Bill Milos, who was one of the original programmers and one of those guys that I remember seeing those meeting notices. And Bill actually put in the time to go to the meetings because I'm like, I don't want to go, man, because I hated meetings. And there were meetings all the time about every different little issue. And if you lived in a co-op, there were house meetings and there was, you know, just political stuff going on. So, Bill, you sacrificed yourself to go to these meetings. I want to ask you.
I didn't have enough money to go to bars, so I had to do something.
Well, come on, man. Beer was cheap then, you know. So we'd be hanging out at Bob and Jean's. And I remember, and this is in one of our books, after 29 years or so, we came out with a book. And I tell the story about how we all, your show was on a Wednesday night, and you'd go on at 11 o'clock or so, and you could go on till however you wanted. And then when you were done, you would actually have to shut off the transmitter and shut down the station. Yeah. Now, of course, we're 24 hours, but there's a funny story in the history of WRT, but we'll tell it some other time. But did you guys think that WRT was something that was going to last for 50 years? And what do you think about what we've been able to do?
Well, initially, you know, I wouldn't say it was ragtag because people brought professionalism to what they were doing. Everyone, even me, tried to do a good job, some good stuff got done. Although some of what was going on the, especially after midnight, was really marginal. Some really wacky characters were being interviewed and stuff. I remember I was engineering a show. It was like a talk show after midnight one night, and the guy said he had spent 30,000 years in Lake Mendota, and he was wearing, it was very cold out, he was wearing three leisure suits, one inside the other. So it was definitely not exactly quality journalism that was going on there. But yeah, he had a lemon yellow, a maroon, and a green leisure suit, all one inside the other that he was wearing.
Mm-hmm.
Now, and yeah. But the yeah. the you know, once it moved over to the new studios, and once, yeah, I was not really involved in any of the fundraising or the, I mean, I would do the pledge drives and stuff, but I wasn't involved with a lot of the organizational things. I got into that a little bit, like in the first couple of months, but you know, there were people who were much better at it than I was, and they kind of moved it in a strong direction, and so I was just doing whatever volunteer work I could do, including my show, and the once it really sort of started rolling. Especially with the new studio and with the new transmitter out there, you know, I knew it would keep going. I mean, especially with the interest of the community, and you know, it's a valuable asset to Madison.
It sure is, and we know that, and that's why we want people to give us a call, 608-256-2001. We're talking to an ancient figure from WRT. Bill, talk about your. Can you talk a little bit about your music? Because we've got a little snippet from one of your shows in 1976, and we're just going to play
The stuff I was doing was, at the time, was kind of called new music or experimental music. Although the first, I did two programs. The first one was called 27 Listeners Can't Be Wrong, and it was a combination of like free jazz and some post-bop jazz, and like electronic music and other modern compositions. And like, for example, Philip Glass was in town once, and we had him on the air, and somebody called up, and, you know, we were playing one of his pieces, and somebody called up and said, why do you have to use those synthesizers? And Glass said, well, there are no synthesizers. These are all instruments, you know. He said, I was there in the recording session. I know that were, you know, it was key, electric organ and clarinets and voices. And the guy said, "Now I'm a professor of music, and I know that that's that synthesizer crap." So we all had a good laugh about that.
And people might be familiar with you also recorded some famous people to do station IDs. People might be familiar with the William S. Burroughs ID. You're listening to WR. You recorded that.
He was in town. I interviewed him, hung out with him a little bit when he was in town. And I ended up working on a project with him later like a sound project. that'll be, I created a website for some of this stuff. You said you have a clip. Mm-hmm. I put a bunch of clips up on a website, systemconsiderations.com. And eventually I'll be having the Burroughs thing. And I did other interviews with some other people, like Laurie Anderson and Pauline Oliveros, and like I said, Philip Glass. I'll be putting those up there. But right now I just have a bunch of clips from the 27 Listeners Can't Be Wrong, which is a 70s show. And then later, after I came back from living on the West Coast, I did another show called System Considerations in the 80s. That was all at the new studio, and that was technically much nicer. And in the old days, we were in mono. You know, it wasn't stereo. At first, it was all mono. And then at the new station, it was stereo and much higher power and much better coverage.
All right. We're speaking with Bill Miles. He's one of the original programmers 50 years ago for WORT. And right now, I'm going to play just a little snippet of one of your air checks. And this is from October 16th of 1976. Everybody give a listen here. And while you're listening to this, go to your phone or go to your computer and pledge to WORT. Like these people, we got a couple more pledges, right?
Yeah, we did.
Who pledged, man?
We got a couple of pledges coming in. First off, thank you, David P.
All right, David P. David Polkinkowski, Bill, you remember David P.
Oh, my goodness. Hi, Dave. Around.
Yeah, man. You Polacks got to stick together. hey, all right, here we go. Here we go. This is from October 16th, 1976, Bill Miles. 27 listeners can't be wrong. Or system, I don't know what it is. Check it out.
This tape was made at WORT, the 16th of October, 1976.
I know there's more to it. I think. Isn't that the soundtrack to The Godfather?
I'd like to take this opportunity to dedicate tonight's program to some people that it's going to be sent to via a cassette recording. Some friends of mine in the outskirts of Minneapolis. Also to an old friend of many years who might be listening tonight. That was some Freddie Hubbard you heard, and there's some Freddie Hubbard in the background. This next thing is by Harry Partch. It's called Daphne of the Dunes. I'd like to take just a second and talk about Harry Partch. Harry Partch is sort of a personal favorite of mine. He's a very nonconformist type of individual. He's totally outside of the mainstream of contemporary music in many respects of any sort. He was born in the desert states of the southwestern United States and grew up among parents who had been missionaries in China and had a lot of contact with the Chinese culture, along with Zuni Indians. And he remembers at an early age of hearing a lot of American Aboriginal music. He began composing in sort of a traditional classical vein. And in his 20s, he decided that it wasn't what he really wanted to do. So he took all of his up till then compositions and burned them in a pot-bellied stove in a basement. Destroying his life's work up to that point, he decided that he was going to come up with an entirely new idiom in the realm of music. Those of you who are really interested in it can read a book by Harry Parch. It's called Genesis of a Music. He describes how stifling the musical education establishment really is, how stifling that sort of thing tends to be, how straight-laced and tradition-bound such a body of learned men tends to be. Very interesting treatise.
All right, Bill. That was Bill Milos from an air check of October 16th, 1976. You know, Joanne Powers comes to mind when I listen to your old air checks about what's going on. And she does one of the jazz shows here every other Tuesday. And I'm sure she would be very enthralled with your air checks and what you were talking about at that time. Bill?
I sounded sober there. It's kind of amazing.
Okay. Hey. Oh, no. I hope I didn't lose you. Are you still there, Bill?
I'm more okay. or less.
All right. Good. Well, Bill Milos is one of the original programmers here 50 years ago as we celebrate WORT. We do have some more people to thank who have pledged their support here. First, again, I'll go back in Casey Collins. He got himself one of them knit caps. Marty Schwartz. Thank you very much. Pete Olson. Over there. Yes, thank you, Pete, for your generous donation. And then two bartenders here. If anybody's here, Ricky over at the Crystal Corner Bar gave a little thank you very much last night. And also Justin Sback, also one of the fine bartenders at the Crystal Corner Bar. Yeah, thank you very much. All you guys for pledging your support. We also got those other people over there, too, to thank. But give us a call here and do your thing and show your support for community radio. We lasted 50 years. Bill, it was great to talk to you. We got to get to our next guest here. But thank you so much for birthing Wart. And that's the reason I'm here to talk about questionable journalism.
Yeah. you've been on the air for how long now, Tony?
It's been 30 something years, actually. So yeah, started I think in 1993.
It's nice that they let you out of the old folks home to do that.
It's a DEI thing, man.
Yeah.
Or is it DUI? I don't know. Bill, it's good to talk to you, and we'll keep in touch, and hopefully we'll bring you up here for these for our big celebration we're going to have in December. You know, we got a lot of things going on
through the
years. Yeah. Well, I'll go pick you up, man, you know. All right, man. Take care. Bill Milos. Thanks a lot, man.
Bye-bye. Bye-bye.
All right. Wow. There you have it, folks. That's how Wart started. And did you look up Harry Parch over there?
I know. I'm reading his Wikipedia page right now. I can never tell when you tell me to look up people if they're real people that are alive now or historical.
Is he still alive?
I think so.
It doesn't say he's dead.
No, he died a long time ago. Oh,
okay. Well, he's still alive here at WORT.
He's still alive spiritually.
Thanks to Bill Milos. So we're going to get to Sherry DuBiel soon for Community Shares. I hope she's here. I don't know. We'll have to go see.
I'll go check out the lobby.
Yeah, why don't you? And it's 8:39, everybody. Stay tuned. Stay tuned and check this out. And give us a call, 608-256-2001. We have phone answers are standing by. 8:40, running just a little bit behind here. We are going to get to Topher in about 10 minutes. Topher Christensen from the new Atwood Music Hall to talk about a big announcement there. But right now, joining me in the studio, I'm very pleased to have Sherry DeBeale. She is, well, I guess the, what are you with Community Shares?
The executive director.
Oh, there you go.
The
boss.
Big share.
Yes, there you go. And the big share is a yearly event, comes on.
Yeah.
And it's a huge fundraising thing. And as a matter of fact, can you tell us a little bit about some of the community-based organizations that it helps?
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you for having us, Tony. The Big Share is a giving day for the nonprofit members of Community Shares of Wisconsin. And these are all groups working on social justice, housing, environmental sustainability. So for those who are paying attention to federal news, these are all the ones on the hot list. These are all the issues that...
I did want to talk about them.
Yeah,
go ahead and talk about it.
Yeah, so these are all the big issues, DEI, I say in air quotes, trans issues, renewable energy, et cetera. These are all the big issues that people are coming under heat for and being attacked for. So this year's Big Share is even more important than ever before. And we want people to come out, show your support, be loud, make sure everyone in the community knows that these are issues you care about.
And how many organizations are involved with the Big Share?
Yeah, right now we have 68 members. WORT is a member, so if you're interested in supporting WORT through the Big Share, you can. ACLU, Commonwealth Development, Housing Initiatives, End Domestic Abuse Wisconsin, a number of really amazing nonprofits that are located here in South Central Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Can you talk a little bit about what's going to be going on Tuesday, because on Tuesday is the big day. You guys got a lot of televised events that people can check out. And what's going on?
Yeah, so every year for the past few years, we've been doing Big Share Live, which is essentially a telethon that is live streamed. You can link to it on our website, thebigshare.org, or you can find it on YouTube, but the simplest to find on thebigshare.org. And throughout the day, we have a number of panel discussions because we have the brightest, smartest, most brilliant minds that are part of Community Shares, and so they'll be talking about different relevant issues related to their work. And then we have musical entertainment as well, and one of our musical guests is the Tony Castaneda and the Latin Jazz Band.
I've never heard of them. What do they do?
No, let's not talk about them. But yeah, we're very happy to take part and to help out on during the event. It's we've been doing it for several years now, and it's a very exciting thing. What I like, though, is you guys are going to be ending at Giant Jones Brewery on Tuesday night for karaoke.
Yes.
And talk about
this
that.
This year we are doing protest song karaoke. You don't have to sing a protest song, but we want to get rowdy and get people feeling the community of being together. And
getting a little militant and
a little
angry and rising up and
exactly,
everything.
Exactly. So bring your favorite protest song and sign up. And everybody who signs up to sing gets entered into a drawing to win a cash prize. So that's always fun, too.
Is it cutthroat karaoke? The karaoke where you can pay to shut somebody up?
No, we save that for others. We're more of the collaborative karaoke.
Oh, yeah, the nice stuff. Okay.
You guys can do that over there.
We appreciate that. All right. And, you know, we talked a little bit about the need is going to be greater now because a lot of these agencies you're talking about, are they in danger of losing their federal funding?
Yeah. In fact, one group has already had their grant cut.
Really?
Fair Share CSA Coalition. Because, you know, it's bad to make sure all people have access to fresh food, apparently. I'm being sarcastic, sorry.
No, that's okay.
And then there are a lot of other groups that receive federal funding that they're in that kind of holding stage of waiting to see if their grants are going to be cut, because they're in that process of evaluating all the different grant programs through this lens of if they have the trigger words in them. And that's how this first group was identified.
What's a trigger word there?
It was
food.
Yeah. Well, their program was specifically focused on increasing funds for BIPOC people to grow their own food, which, you know, that's always bad, I guess. I don't know.
I know.
So DEI, trans, any diversity, equity, and inclusion, those words are all big trigger words.
The same thing's happening. The grants have actually already been approved and everything, but now the Trump administration is taking them back.
Yes, right? And so this is all going to be in the courts.
Yes.
But for right now,
it's going to affect
lost
a lot
of their money.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
And a lot of community organizations, I guess we should be looking out for that and seeing
exactly
how that's going to affect.
And
that.
That's one of the messages I wanted to get out there this year. Let's show all of these social justice and environmental causes that we have their back. So let's all, you know, even if the minimum donation is $5, even if you can give $5 or share about it on your social media or show up, we talk about the Big Share Live that's taking place. You can watch it online or you can show up in person at the Artlit Lab downtown. Just show up and show your support, because there's a lot of people working at these nonprofits that are really struggling because they're being instructed by their leadership to take words off their website and remove pronouns from their signatures and things like that. And it's really, really hard and demoralizing for a lot of these folks that are doing such important work. So,
not to mention it's a complete waste of time and also resources,
yes,
as you can see. So.
Yeah, and it's intended to be demoralizing. So it's intended to
take us down, weak
and tired to fight back. But
that's right. So Tuesday is a big community celebration,
exactly,
if we will, of all these organizations,
exactly,
and the good work that they do in our community. Because a lot of people, it's going to come down to, you know, the local communities supporting these,
exactly,
agencies.
Right.
Until Trump is gone.
Yeah.
Or whenever he's gone. We got somebody else to thank over there, Eli?
Yeah. Just a reminder, everybody, we are doing our winter pledge drive right now. A big thank you to Cafe Coda. Cafe Coda.
I love it, Cafe Coda. Thank you very much, Hanan, everybody down there. You know, so yeah, it's all community, and that's what it takes. So, Sherry, I want to,
exactly,
thank you very much for coming down this morning, and I look forward to seeing you on Tuesday.
Yay!
I'm definitely going to go to that karaoke. Of course, we'll be playing music,
awesome,
at the Arts and Literature Lab, and a lot of the events are at the Art and Literature Lab.
Yes.
Right? So it's going to kind of open all day. Right.
Right. The panel discussions and a lot of the entertainment is taking place from 8 a.m. to 8 p.m. at Artlit Lab.
And it's live streamed on, how do people check it out?
You can find the link to it on our website, thebigshare.org.
Bigshare.org. Sherry, thank you so much. And thank the Big Share for everything they do for our communities, including WORT. So,
all right. Thank you. Happy to be here.
All right. Thank you very much. Hey, in a minute, it's 8:48. In a minute, we're going to get to Topher Christensen from the Atwood Music Hall with a big announcement, everybody. It's 8:49. You are tuned into WORT 89.9 FM in Madison, Wisconsin. Joining me on the line, I'm very pleased to have Topher Christensen. You might know Topher because he owns the Burr Oak music venue. But more importantly, he's opening, finally, I want to say, it's taken a long time, the new Atwood Music Hall, which is at 1925 Winnebago. Is that, did I get that address? I know you sent it to me yesterday, Topher.
Yep, you got it. That's it.
1925 Winnebago Avenue, and it's going to open. It's been a while. It's taken a long time. You've put a lot of effort into getting this place open. Let's talk a little bit about that. All right, Topher, what you got going on?
Yeah, so thanks, Tony. We just announced today our grand opening lineup. You know, we are going to open on June 13th. I think apropos to be on this station right now announcing it, the first show we have is a big tribute to Clyde Stubblefield, and all the tickets, ticket sales after artist fees benefit WORT. So we really wanted to start the club and open with a really local focus, really celebrating Madison artists and Madison music throughout the years, and couldn't think of a better way to open the club than with your station here. So,
wow, that's great, man, and thank you very much. So the first thing you're doing, it's a benefit for WORT, and we like to hear that too. So June 17th is going to be the grand opening.
June 13th.
Yep. What about to get to open this place? What did it take? I know you've been working on this for at least 2 years, if not longer.
More. It took a lot of patience.
Yes,
I think I first saw the building almost 5 years ago. And I walked in and I looked up at the ceiling and I was just in awe. And I thought, wow, this is an amazing space. Nobody knows this is here. You know, I have to figure out how to turn this into a music venue. And so with a lot of patience and diligence and conversations, I was able to figure out how to purchase the building from the owner. And then it took a while, but figure out how to get the financing package put together. And right now we're in construction and we'll be ready to open in June.
Now, what about the fact that, as a lot of people know, and I know you don't want to start any bad blood or anything, but I'm okay with doing that. a lot of the venues, the music venues in town now are kind of Frank Productions, Live Nation things. They're cashless, and they pretty much, a lot of people think they dominate the Madison music scene. What does it take for you? You're going to be an independent venue. You're not going to be tied in with that. What about that?
Yeah, well, I think we have laid a really good foundation with the Baroque. You know, we've been open for over 5 years, and we've shown that we can be a successful small independent business and support local artists and support the local, you know, arts community at the same time. And we're kind of hoping to do the same thing just on a larger scale with the Atwood. You know, we'll still have some local bands play. You know, it's a larger room, so it's not going to be local all the time. But we really want to fit into the artistic landscape of Madison and support local people while also bringing in really great national shows as well. So, yeah, you know, there's one company in town right now that kind of dominates everything. And that's just what's happening in a lot of markets around the country. And, you know, to be an independent owner of a music venue is not an easy thing to do. But, you know, we've been figuring it out at the Baroque, and I think we'll be successful at the Atwood as well.
All right. By the way, we are raising money for WRT. Give us a call and go online like our good friend Jimmy G, who just pledged his support. He likes, his favorite shows are Public Affair on Thursdays. He likes the Thursday Buzz, and he also likes Friday on My Mind. So his days are Thursday and Friday. Thank you, Jimmy. Yeah, man. Thank you very much. And also, we want to thank all these other people, Marty and Pete and David P. And who else you got over there?
I got David P. I got Scott. I got Cafe Coda. All those good folks down there.
Casey Collins. We got Marty. We got Justin and Ricky, the bartenders at the Crystal Corner, who have pledged their support to local community radio. Join them. Go on wartfm.org if you want to pledge online. We still got about 6 minutes left for this show, and we're speaking right now with Topher Christensen. Topher, let's talk a little bit about the Baroque, your current venue, and how that's going. And also, you're also on Winnebago Street, just about five blocks down from your new spot. How is that going to work?
Yeah, so I think it's going to work really well. The Baroque is 130 capacity room. The Atwood is going to be about 375 people for a seated show and, you know, six and change for a standing room show. And then we also have the Barrymore down the block. So we kind of have a really good stepping ladder for artists. Come play the Baroque, sell out. Go play the Atwood, sell out. Go play the Barrymore. It's just kind of this little path for people to follow and keep it all in one neighborhood and keep it all independent. And that's what really we're trying to do, you know, in the Schenck Atwood neighborhood right now.
What about the neighborhood itself? You know, we got the neighborhood organization, SAS, Sia Market Neighborhood Association. Some people think that... some people in the neighborhood are like, oh, we got too many things going on. We got too many bars. We got too much music going on. It's too loud, you know. What about your acceptance in the neighborhood for your new venue?
I mean, we've had nothing but support so far from everyone in the neighborhood. I think we've addressed, you know, some of the initial concerns with the sound, with what we're doing inside the building. We addressed the initial concern with parking, with the arrangement we have with the Trinity Lutheran Church for all the parking spaces. You know, we're going to be a good neighbor, and we've shown that at the Baroque for over 5 years. You know, we're good neighbors, and, you know, we're going to run a business, but we're also going to take people's concerns to heart, and we'll address those concerns.
Mm-hmm. Is there going to, I know your initial plans were to have a food in your thing. Are you still...
So at the Baroque, we have a cafe, Lacey's Cafe, now that's open during the day, and mm-hmm. she has started to sell some food at shows, and she will be at the Atwood as well for select shows, selling a small menu of food.
Mm, okay, so there will be food there. Now, we have, we've seen some glimpses of stuff in the paper and news stories about the building itself, the new Atwood Music Hall. It's huge. And people don't know this. Eli doesn't even know this. But back in, I think, 76 or 77, WRT had a live broadcast there featuring the Irish Brigade Band, my group at the time, Omeka. And then we also brought up a salsa band from Milwaukee, La Chaz. Tony Ramos, may he rest in peace. And La Chaz played there. And it was a huge success. The place was packed. It was in like July 3rd. It was hotter than whatever. Mm-hmm. But the what about the acoustics? What about that building itself that makes it special?
I mean, it was originally built for a church before amplification. So there was a choir loft. There was a preacher up front speaking without a microphone to 1,000 people sitting in pews. So it was built for gathering and for singing and for speaking, and it's going to be an amazing sounding room once we have all the renovations finished. You know, that's what it was meant for, and that's what we're continuing on with this new itineration of the building.
That's great. Hey, we got somebody else to thank who pledged online. Dina, thank you so much. She likes the Thursday Buzz. She likes the Ava Borelli Show, and also Hajira. So she's all Thursday there.
Yeah.
Jeff, too bad she didn't pledge for you, but it all goes to the same pocket there, if you will. We're speaking with Topher Christensen. He's ready and excited to open up his new Atwood Music Hall. Do you got any big names coming in there yet? What do you got booked?
Yeah, I mean, we announced our grand opening this morning. You know, we've talked about the Wort show on the 13th, our grand opening show. We've got a big show with Raina Maria, who originally started at the university in the late 90s and then moved to New York. They're coming in for kind of a reunion show on the 26th. We've got Spooner, Old Madison Band, doing their 50th anniversary show on the 12th. You know, we've got shows with Tony Brown and Natty Nation doing their 30th anniversary on June 21st. We've got Ben Sidran playing on the 20th. We're doing a series called Locals Only, sponsored by One Barrel Brewing, where we're booking only local bands, and they're going to take 100% of the door. And our first show in that series is Disc with Graham Hunt and Celebrity Sighting on June 27. We're also showing the Smart Studios documentary with Wendy Schneider and Butch Vig doing a Q&A afterwards. We've got a lot of great stuff, man. Bernard Allison doing a tribute to his dad, Luther Allison, with the Jimmys and the Cash Box Kings. So, yeah, just check out our website, you know, atwoodmusichall.com for all the shows we've announced. We're going to start going on sale with shows this weekend, so start getting your tickets early.
All right. Well, Topher, I want to thank you very much for being on Atwood Music Hall again, 1925. Winnebago is going to open on June 13th. And thank you for everything you've been doing for the community here, Topher.
Thanks, man. I appreciate your support.
All right. There you go, everybody. That was a very successful show. Thank you very much. I really want to thank our phone answers, Vicki and Heidi from Epic Mortgage Lending. And also, they're the ones who donated the breakfast food today. Also, Mary Lou answering phones. Elon Wills. Let's thank these names. Marty. We're going to thank Marty. Casey. Pete. Pete Olson, my guy. Justin and Ricky. And who else you got over there?
I got David P. I got Scott. And I got Cafe Coda. Big thanks to all three of those.
All right. Keep those cards and letters coming, people. We got another week or so of pledging and asking for your support to keep WRT on. I want to thank my guest, Bill Milos from 50 years ago, Sherry DeBeal from Community Shares, and Topher Christensen. And we went over our mark, man. Sorry about that. We're going to turn things over to Hajira in just a minute. This is WRT 89.9 FM in Madison, Wisconsin.
Good show, Tony.
Thank you very much. Let's see what we got here. Go. I said go. Here it is. Maybe there's a delay on the kiosk.
This is the Insurgent Radio kiosk. Jesus. For Thursday, February 27th.
Yeah. May I just say that the stupidest, most